yell. When you're away from the microphone, maybe you do
I
yell
get excited sometimes.
Other than that, I think we're reasonably good technically. So yeah, Cinco de Mayo. This is our Cinco de Mayo podcast. Is it not? Ish? Or is it the May the 4th?
The week off.
Is it the May the 4th be with you
May
podcast?
The 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
It's something along those lines.
Yep. I do something fun with my daughter every year on May the 4th. We do a little fun thing. We post a little video, a little picture, a little thing. And we have something funny planned for tomorrow. So
you dress up as Yoda?
Wait, are you doing it today or are you doing it tomorrow?
Well, I mean, we'll do it today. By the time I get done going through, you know, post, it'll be ready for tomorrow.
Is this a Christmas card?
Got it. It's been on the Christmas card.
Is post-producing his podcast. So we'll just jump in. Welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys podcast. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, and we are here for podcast number, Gavin?
34.
34. Thank you very much. It's 34. I'm Steve.
This is the Sweetness Podcast.
I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
I'm Dan.
John.
Sean.
Gavin. And once again, we are the Worldwide IT Guys. And I don't think, by the way, I promoted last week at the end of the podcast that I wasn't bullshitting. We have T-shirts that people can actually ask for. I had a lot of people kind of coming back to me via Twitter over the last week.
Oh, really?
And everybody was joking about different things, sponsorship being a part of it. Really, there are T-shirts, and if anybody wants to buy a T-shirt...
Why don't we do, like, the... Can you guess what year and model Dion's Camaro is, and you win a T-shirt type thing?
Oh, we're going to do a...
Like a radio station giveaway?
Yeah.
A radio station. All right.
Hey, if you can guess what year Dion's...
How well do you know your...
All right. If anybody tweets while we're podcasting that... Dion, what's the hashtag?
Hashtag 98Z. 98Z28. How's that?
98Z28. Now you've made it complex. It's never going to happen.
Now you guys can all get into my fucking ATM. God damn it.
So if anybody hashtags while we are podcasting, never going to happen. With that, it will, in fact, be a free T-shirt. Otherwise, buy a T-shirt. Just send a note back. Tweet me or us as a collective at... Worldwide IT Guys, WWIT Guys, and the hashtag is T-shirt, and we'll get back to you and figure out what
69 pounds,
what size
each.
And whatnot has to happen, and how we pay for shipping to the other side of the world. Beyond that, Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
Dion, you were saying Cinco de Mayo was the what?
What's well, I
now
said
he knows.
It was the Mexican Independence Day, and then as soon as you say that, everybody says, you're a fucking idiot, why do you say that? It has nothing to do with that, it's just some random day in May.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Well, we used to have a great party here at our company. We used to
back
in the day.
Tequila parties, they randomly fell on May 5th.
So I was honestly, at 9 o'clock last night, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I should really like bring in my molcajete and make guacamole.
Whoa.
And bring in a blender and make
guac.
Some margaritas.
You make a good guac.
We could actually have a real like Cinco de Mayo podcast, but it's 9 o'clock and it's I'm not gonna do
meh. It. I don't like those guys that much.
I'm not gonna do it. Now does with the dates, do we go ahead a day? So is next year theoretically? So if we're still doing this, May 5th next year, and it's our day of podcast, I promise all that I just described.
Okay.
I will deliver.
Be on a Thursday then, right?
Guacamole. Well, that's the question. May 5th. Is May 5th next year a Wednesday, our podcast day? I got a team that's actually working here. Everybody's like got their heads down. They're typing.
Like Oracle port shit happening.
Nobody's paying attention to me.
Yeah. The calendar shows that it's the Friday the 5th.
Oh, it's Friday. It falls
back. Was there
back
a leap year? Yeah.
What it falls
mean?
Back.
No.
That's all right, so it's never. It's 5 years from now.
But that's how calendars work. So
we might do what
if
I just
Thursday
described.
Thursday this year, it's Friday next year.
Fine. Doesn't matter. So what's going on in the world of the Worldwide IT Guys? Oh, Mother's Day is this weekend. Who's got a plan for Mother's Day? We're dealing with all the calendar shit up front, by the way.
I have no plan. I'm supposed to make plans. We'll see. I'm
gonna get a plan in this room? There's six of us in this room.
I have none.
I have a plan. My plan is...
Can I go first before I have to try to beat him? Because it's not going to happen.
I don't think this is a competition, but...
Well, the thing is, my son was born on Mother's Day, actually, so I always tell my wife that I gave you the best gift ever.
Nice.
By the
way,
I can't
top
that. I can't top that.
Every year.
Every year.
This is the seventh. That's good. So, no plans. We're
real. So my daughter likes to dance. She's in a ballet class. She has a recital. We've invited our entire family. We'll sit in the front row, and that'll happen. And then it's back to my brother and his new wife, who is also due for a baby in June. They just bought a house, and we're going to have the first house barbecue at his place and then celebrate Mother's. So... That's our plan.
No spaghetti meatballs?
But we're going to barbecue and then, you know, side of masticholi like we always do.
Always. Okay, okay. It's always a side of masticholi.
Yeah. But I have an important question. Is Jim Peterick going to be making an appearance?
What? What is this?
So this is a callback to last
week. Last week?
I don't remember Jim Peterick. No.
He is the guy who...
Coolest man in the world.
Coolest man in the world.
Yeah. The guy who wrote with the Lamborghinis.
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
You will be... If you're at O'Hare at 5:30 in the morning on like a Tuesday, he'll be walking through, flying to a show for the next weekend in a purple leather outfit, hair completely... And ready to like rock and roll out in O'Hare. Anyways,
so
he's very cool. He will not be at the ballet recital. He won't be at the Mother's Day barbecue. But he understands that I would like to drive one of his Lamborghinis because I have a friend, as you know, that is friends with him, and he won't ever let that happen, essentially.
Wait, that guy?
He understands that I own a Camaro and that you can't go from Camaro to Lamborghini. So that won't ever happen.
It's got to be a transition car.
Dion's notorious in the state of Illinois. Nobody will let him drive anything more than a Camaro, and only his Camaro, by the way.
I have a fraternal order of police badge on the back of my Camaro, which is essentially I or somebody in my family is a police officer. So
you can buy those.
You can buy those.
You can buy those.
Get out of jail free card because I've donated to your cause.
It's worked.
My license plate is I smell bacon, so it really works. God. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to go back to you two guys. Now, all right, let's ask the question first. Who still has a mother who's walking on the earth? Because I know everybody, I think, here does except John.
Except for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So John's mom passed.
Yes.
So I asked about Mother's Day, and I love how the two guys who chimed in with plans are talking about what they're doing for their wife or thinking about for their wife.
Yeah, not my mom.
John, I understand. Well, are you doing anything for your mother?
No, the ballet thing. I said I invited my entire family, so I invited my mother, my grandmother, you know,
okay,
the boys.
Okay.
So that's the thing. And then the barbecue is for the moms.
Come see my daughter perform.
It's
Happy Mother's Day.
It's their granddaughter.
Well, right. We went last weekend to visit my in-laws, which is sort of a Mother's Day for my wife's mom, and it was like all of our grandkids were born in May. So we basically just one big party for my son and his cousin that lives in Indy. So it was a big party. So that's what we're done.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
That was in-laws. That
right.
took care of that whole routine.
Right.
I get that. I had the somewhat awkward conversation with my sister who said, so what are you doing? What's going on? You know, are you planning something? Like, you're probably doing something at home. And I just went, at home? No, I have no plan for my wife. I looked at my kids and went, she's your mother. I don't care. What do you want to do? You figure that out. So that you guys are doing nice things. Good for you. Me, it's like, whatever. Mom is mom. You guys sort that out.
You took care of your mom. You're fine.
I'm trying to take care of my mother.
Yeah, right.
And make sure that my mother is happy on Mother's Day. That's my job, right?
That's it.
I don't care about My wife. Don't care. She'll figure it out.
She is a listener, obviously.
I love my wife dearly. We have this joke. So Mother's Day and our anniversary kind of falls on the same at the same time. And we celebrate our anniversary. And I just go, you know what?
How many years you got?
Kids, Mother's Day, deal with that. I deal with the anniversary bit.
Delegate.
Anniversary, how many years? It's a bad question, Dion. I've got to count. What does that put us at? Are we up to 28? I think we're 28.
Wow. Nice. That's
well done.
Awesome. Congrats. Yeah. I wanted people to hear your number because I knew it was close to...
I think we're 28.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose wife's birthday is in the month of May. Mother's Day is the month of May. Their wedding anniversary is in the month of May. And their daughter's birthday is in May. And she's... I'm not stereotyping Turkish women. But
just by saying there that you stereotype Turkish women, just said she, that.
Or this woman in general, she's a little high maintenance. She requires a celebration for every one of those days. So he's pretty much broke for the month of May, June, and July. We never see him. So
learning some good life lessons here. I did not know that.
Plan out your holidays and birthdays and anniversaries.
Yeah. Yep. Turkish women are off the table.
And Turkish women.
See, but I feel like that around the holidays because, like, I have 10 birthdays and Christmas.
Right.
Between, like, November and 2 weeks into December or January. Mm-hmm. It's like 10 birthdays and Christmas. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Gauntlet.
Yeah. So
for your wallet,
it's rough. That's not as bad as May, but
yeah. Well, my wife, she likes to ride her bike a lot, so we took her old bike in to get tuned up, and the guy basically started laying out the things that need to be replaced. It was like $500 of just parts. He's like, okay, well, here's what you need to spend. Okay, let me show you a bike that's less than that, a brand new bike. So she got a new bike a month ago, and I said, okay, this is your Mother's Day present.
There you
go.
You're
getting a new bike.
There you go.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
So there's always a one-of-a-kind show here in the Mart. Well, they did a spring show, and I got dragged to it on Sunday. So we had an event for my nephew, a wedding shower thing that I went to Sunday morning or Sunday midday. And then we met somebody here and went to the spring one-of-a-kind. First year ever they did the spring one-of-a-kind show.
Yeah,
And it was a very similar thing.
Right.
I was like, you really like that, huh? All right, you really like that. Looks like anniversary is going to be taken care of.
Exactly.
Remember, that happened a week before anniversary. Yeah, we're going to go out and have a nice dinner, but yeah.
Yep.
Same routine. So, Sean, you don't have a...
I don't have any plans yet. I'll have to figure it out. I don't even know if... I'll probably just...
You still have a mother, right?
Yeah. Well, I just call her. I mean, she's in Cleveland.
And that's all she needs is a phone call.
Yeah.
You got 20 siblings, so...
Yeah, and they all live by her, so she does something with them. So I just got to, like, kind of keep the kids out of Jess's hair for the day.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Got it. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fair. And, Gavin, you've got a...
Yeah, I'm going to make dinner plans or brunch plans or something like that. Good. I haven't really decided yet, but yeah, just going to be a simple day.
It's an important day for moms.
Mm-hmm.
We should all think about our moms. Dan,
most phone calls in America, isn't that what they always say? More phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year.
Oh, really?
Well, that makes sense.
I always read that. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's like those Super Bowl stats where it's just hyperbole that everybody believes. But I always read that the phone company places more calls on Mother's Day than any other day.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You have no plan, Dan?
My mom's birthday is a couple weeks ago, so that kind of cheats her a little bit on the Mother's Day side. And I do have three other siblings that compete for her time on that day. I'll probably give her a call, as Sean pointed out, and you know, give her a free hour of tech support or something like that.
Free hour of tech support.
Usually he charges $200 an hour, so that's a big deal, okay?
By the way, it is true that more collect phone calls are made on Father's Day than any other
day. More collect phone calls? Well, I would imagine Father's Day would collect. And not because no dad will accept the charge.
It's weird. It's collect call from Happy Father's Day, Dad. God, I did. Do you accept the charge?
Oh, my. Before cell phones.
Oh, yeah. You would be like, basketball game's over. This is my name. Yeah.
You have a collect call from basketball game's coming up again right now. It's like, okay. Perfect. Okay. They reject the charges. They charges they come.
Remember how different it used to be? Because you had collect calls, which were like very expensive. But then, remember for a while, before cell phones came out, there was that weird thing where it was like, dial 991 or something like that, and like they had David Spade and all these celebrity interviews. So it was a different way to do a collect call on a reserved area code, but it was less expensive than like dialing operator and doing a collect call. I remember David Spade, like when he first started on SNL, was like their
spokesperson.
But it was just it was funny just how much harder it was to get a hold of people back then.
It was great.
Yeah. You could just leave. One of the things I miss about it is you could just be like, my uncles would talk about, you know, just missing the birth of their kids and you know, stuff that just would not ever fly in the modern world. Not that I would want to do that, but like, they're just like, you could have something major going on in your life and nobody wouldn't have any, there's no way anybody could get a hold of you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now people get a hold of you for trivial stuff, you know?
I don't know. I think I mentioned this recently. Like, my daughter was over in Japan for an abroad at school, and you know, I felt like we talked to her more when she was in Japan than we do when she's just at school, and she's 5 hours away when she's at school. And it's the deal of when we were anywhere outside of your local market, we were dealing with these collect calls where we were just trying to game the system, or we were dealing with, you know, 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes, and then the rates go crazy. So just talk fast and go, this is what's going on. This is what I'm thinking about. What's going on at home? Okay, good. Hang up. Boom. That was your call. You just you had to do it as fast as
possible. I used to always remember in college, this was back before cell phones and everything, but I would talk to my parents once a week, probably usually on Sunday, and they would ask me if I went to church and if I'm studying, whatever. But then my roommate and I both had girlfriends that were long distance, and every month we had to go through the list of phone numbers and highlight which ones were ours. And separate long distance charges between our one telephone line we had in our dorm room.
Funny.
Gosh, that's a long
and
time
the
ago.
School, like, did the school pay it and then they charged you?
I don't even remember. Probably.
Because that's the way it was for us. It was all, like, charged through the, like, there was a central switchboard.
Probably.
I'm freaking old. I'm sorry. There was a central switchboard that would get the call and then route it to your dorm.
Okay. No.
And there was only one phone in the hall. So there was, I'm sorry, there were, on the floor. There was one phone on the floor. And so the phone would be ringing and, you know, whoever's on the floor would go, phone! And everybody go, wow. God damn it! And the person who yelled phone had to go answer the phone. Didn't know if there was like five people on the floor or nobody on the floor,
well,
but you would go answer
busy,
the phone.
Like with the electricity that they were newly discovered to and listening to a phonograph of sound that had been recorded like 2 years ago.
Stop it. I'm old, but I'm not quite that old.
By the way,
if you guys
want to know about the mom stats, there's 82.5 million moms in the United States, and 68% of them plan on calling their mom on Mother's Day, which is the highest
60% of the moms.
68% of the people plan to call their mom on Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
Which
So then 50 million moms get a call on that day.
It's pretty much, is the busiest the busiest phone day.
I was just talking about like people answering the phone. I did a show a couple months ago in Waukegan, and I did it with this comic who was the son of the mayor of Waukegan. And he had hilarious stories about growing up and, like, you know, you just wouldn't be able to get a hold of the mayor. You know, you'd just be running errands or whatever.
Right.
So, like, you know, like, he'd be like, hello. And, I forget what their last name is. They're Armenian, I think. Like, I think his name is Rob Pervinskias or something like that. But anyways, they'd be like, Pervinskias residence is like, yeah, I need to talk to the mayor. I'd be like, well, my dad's not here right now. Okay. All right. Hey, listen. like, can I use food stamps on liquor? And they just, like, ask him, like general civic questions. He's like, I really don't know, sir. Like, you're going to have to talk to my dad. Like, I don't, yeah, this is an emergency. And, like, we're, like, it'd be, like, questions about getting their streets plowed and everything. Yeah. I mean, I just think it's something that would never happen nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, where, A, you'd have the mayor's personal number for a town of, I don't know, there's got to be at least 40,000 people who live there. And B, even if you did have his personal number, that somebody else would answer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, for this dorm situation, the asshole that ended up answering the phone, he'd be pissed because he's got to get up and go to the phone.
Yeah.
Gets up, goes to the phone, goes, hello. And he'd, like, drop it and go, Johnson! Yeah.
That's funny.
And go back to his room.
Oh, geez.
And the phone's just laying there. Wow. Johnson's not in the fucking hall. He's not there.
Wow.
Wow. And so the person on the end of the phone, it could be his mom, it could be something, anything.
Illinois Bell.
Yeah. That was my college situation.
It was, I found the ads I was talking about. It was Carrot Top, and it was 1-800-ATT. Call ATT. I don't know if you guys remember those ads.
I remember Carrot Top ads.
Yeah, they were like really, it was a really popular, Mr. T did some ads too, but they were really popular, like collect call alternatives, like in the late 1990s.
Wow. Well, there were phone cards like crazy too.
And there were phone cards.
I mean, everything was just nuts.
Yeah, code after their phone number.
Before cell phones demolished all that. That was crazy.
I'm surprised when I still see a payphone on the street.
It is pretty.
It happens. You come across.
You almost expect it to ring with like a ransom demand or something like that. You know, it's like.
No, it's the. What was the movie? You pick it up and you go, don't fucking drop it or I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, that was the Colin Farrell movie.
Yeah.
Was it just called Phone Booth or something like that?
It was Phone Booth.
I think we just called Phone Booth or something like that. Yeah. That
horrible. Yeah.
The whole movie takes place at Phone Booth. Yep.
When I first saw that, I thought, you know what? That's like somebody went, speed was awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
it was
a bus.
Yeah.
And a bus, you had to go specific. Like, what could we do? A phone. How do we get a phone? Boom. Phone booth. I love it. This is brilliant.
He's forced to stay in the same place for two fucking hours.
Amazing.
That's the easy shot
action
right there.
Easy shot.
It's a money shot. Yes.
Did anybody see it?
No. I never saw it. I heard it was actually not that bad.
Okay. So
7.1 out of 10 stars on IMDb. Wow. So it's not horrible.
And they say it was actually more difficult to shoot than you would think because I guess the phone booth is inside Times Square. So the whole movie is shot in Times Square, which is random, well, ostensibly random public people walking by.
Right, so it was hard to shoot because they had to like do it all at midnight and try to make it look like day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a challenge in that sense.
71 on Rotten
That's
Tomatoes.
That's a pretty good rating for the premise.
Yeah.
All right. I could be standing here corrected, but I'll...
It's got Forrest Whitaker in it, too.
I'll put it on my list, which it's way down on the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Buddy, let's watch Phone Book tonight.
I've got a kind of speed-like scenario I've been thinking about today.
Here we go.
When I ran into the coffee pot.
You ran?
That was empty. I ran into. No, did not run. I'm kind of like been toying with this idea of setting up like some kind of countdown timer to like when you set down an empty coffee pot into the holder and it's empty completely.
Yes.
It's also connected, like it's a weight sensor connected to an IED, and it starts like a 3-minute countdown clock, and if you don't refill the motherfucking coffee within those 3 minutes, it blows up. And I don't know. I've just been thinking about that a lot.
You could just get a camera to shame the people, like look at the tape.
Yeah, that'd be a little easier. Bit less severe.
Was this here at the office?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not building any bombs, but it's just like a thought that kind of popped into my head. So.
It is annoying really when like you don't coffee. Refill the coffee.
You're subcontracting the bombs.
But it is in the afternoon, Kevin. This was the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, coffee 24/7, though, in my opinion. I'll make a pot at 4 p.m. still because I'll still drink it.
Is it
so the company offers you free coffee. Let's be clear here.
Yeah.
And you're complaining that the free coffee that you would have to then make... and get free coffee wasn't full when you got to it.
But yeah, it's what society has really taught you to.
Thank you.
If free coffee is available and you finish the free coffee, you continue to make free coffee for the next person.
Somebody else should be making free coffee.
That is a common courtesy. Yeah. But if you're the poor, pathetic soul that walks up and goes, God damn it, it's wrong.
Well, because there's some other asshole who said, oh, that was the last drop of coffee. It's going to be delicious. Fuck the next guy. Yeah. That's what happened. And Gavin's tired of it.
But that's if it's 11:45 a.m. and you say, oh, I finished the mug. Yeah, it's afternoon now. Who cares?
Isn't that why Starbucks found?
Well, I found the culprits. Yeah. This exercise has worked out perfectly. Yes.
Yes. Starbucks has stopped brewing regular coffee in the afternoon. Correct?
Have they really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I thought that was the case.
They're not brewing regular coffee in the afternoon.
That's why I thought I heard that. It's
no way.
Certain stores
they'd be out of business.
Okay.
Who's going to wait?
They brew maybe they brew
so they only do cappuccino coffees. They only do specialty stuff.
Can't be.
One-offs.
It's probably so fast for them to brew that. I mean, even our coffee maker makes a pot and, you know, I mean, it's only like 20 seconds.
No, holy shit. Gavin cannot wait 20 fucking seconds for his coffee,
I pulled my cup underneath it, so I have a full cup in under 20 seconds.
They have
and then I put the pitcher back there, so I don't wait for the whole thing to get brewed.
We all do the Indiana Jones
game in the system. Game in the system.
Yeah. We all do the Indiana Jones thing.
Right. Just swap it in real quick.
But I think Starbucks.
You know what? I was
saying 20 seconds. It took you longer to take the pot out.
I would say it takes 20 seconds. Yeah. I have a cup of coffee by 20 seconds. It brews pretty fast.
Once you hit start.
Yeah, yeah.
What Dion's saying is
the whole process.
You got to get the
grounds. It's not that time consuming.
You got to put it in the new filter, get the bag, find the scissors, open the bag.
So a minute and a half.
Put it back in, hit the button, make sure the pot's in the right place. Wait.
You're talking like those infomercial commercials where they make everything look like it's harder than it really is. Like, are you tired of the slipping and the sliding of coffee? And like the person throwing beans all over the house. And like, you know.
We're using a Keurig machine.
Yes. They have mashups of those on
Head
YouTube of just how stupid people and like how the other version in every infomercials. Yeah, like they always show like how like this device you've been using your whole life with no problems is actually the worst thing in your house. You know, and you should not be dicing tomatoes with a knife and so on. But they have like a collection of infomercial examples of people just failing at infomercials, and it's hilarious. Just like some of the actors just straight up throw stuff in the air, unrelated, and it's just so funny.
Have you been using a regular ladder all your life? Well, you need to use this, and it's people just falling off a regular ladder and
not knowing how to put it up. Yeah. You know?
Well, I appreciate the sanity check, guys, and the exposure.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having my back, Dion. I'm glad you get me on this one.
We've had some unique conversation the beginning opening of this podcast. That's all I have to say.
You think?
I think so.
Didn't we have some good transition talk? What were we talking about earlier this week that I thought was really funny? Not to...
I don't know what you guys...
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
funny?
Yeah.
Who's laughing?
I'm laughing, Dion.
Funny like it amuses you, Sean?
I know it is.
What?
Like a clown? Yeah. John's got it.
It's Dion's headset joining calls.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
That was the other day.
That was
Monday, I think.
Well, sometimes it's just great to overhear Dion. You know, because he goes, yeah. He goes, do you mind if I sort of recap that call, Dion?
Oh, no, go for it.
He goes,
that was for Dion.
He goes, you know what they're telling you? This is exactly what I told you they were going to say 6 months ago, which is why I said I want to be in the meeting, and I wanted to be there physically for the meeting, and not only will they not let me be there physically, they're refusing to invite me into this meeting. Dion basically is talking about how he's going to crash this meeting, and I don't know what the guy in the other line, I think the guy in the other line was like, well, you know, let me talk to him and see, sort of like, you know, when you got to see if like your friend can come to a party or something like that, like, let me feel him out and see if it's kind of a small little friends thing. But at one point, Dion just goes, hold on. It just starts walking out of the room. He goes, I got a wireless headset so I can do whatever I want. And he just walks out of the room. We have no idea what happened then.
He walked into my office.
Crashing meeting. Just like you're 5 minutes into a meeting and you get like, who just joined? I have a wireless headset. I can do whatever I want.
I can join every call on Skype for business.
You got that button, right?
Wireless with magical. But, and the funny thing is, I walked in the office, I asked him a couple questions, the guy on the other line was like, can I just talk to Steve? I'm like, this, I can't go speakerphone here, this is a wireless headset.
So fucking magic.
So, yeah, I'm like, just call Steve. So he hangs up, and it took 2 minutes to call Steve on Link, and I was like, alright, fine, whatever. This is the magic of the wireless headset, see? So, oh,
that's great.
Yeah, we all need them.
Do we even discuss how I tested to see the distance that the
you went into the bathroom on a call, didn't you?
I was talking to one of our I was talking to Aaron. I said, hey, I just got a new headset, I want to test how far this can go, and I just kept walking and walking. I walked into the bathroom, flushed the toilet, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, it works in the bathroom. He's like, oh, that's real good to know. I was like, yeah. Yep, yep.
If it ever sounds like he's in an echo, like in a small room.
Well, we had a...
Which also we talked about this week, the one time that Dan
we had another
did a conference call from my establishment bathroom.
Yeah, well, the hand dryers were a little loud, but
what though is they were... Because I was on that, and I kind of represented at JWT.
Monks,
the hand dryers were so loud that I think we all assumed you were under the L tracks trying to get back. So I think everybody's like, man, that Dan Brownlee... He don't care where he'll call in whenever he needs to. You know, he's under train tracks.
Getting business done.
Yeah. Well, it was hilarious because Dan got a new phone that day, and you didn't know how to mute it yet.
Yeah. It was a bug. It was that phone. It mutes now, but it did not have that feature.
Oh man!
Hey, could you do me a favor and not dry your hands on an important business call?
I won't tell anyone you didn't wash your hands. Just go back and eat your food.
That's really important. Can you give us that path to that server?
Going on
there.
Oh, that's funny.
Somebody just drying their hands. Don't worry about it.
So, any other conference call funny stories?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I thought there was like another transition thing that we thought was funny.
The transformation story that I hesitate to say is humorous in any way, but we have these transformation calls over and over and over again, where we constantly are asking IBM, like, hey, we really need to get this set up, and on the call, and we completely explain we need to be able to be licensed in this system so that we can use it, because we don't want to pay for two systems, we just want to use one system. And we've been telling them that for a year, let alone 6 months, let alone 3 months. And the calls that we're on now with the same people that we've been on have gone for about at least two months. And for the past five calls, every time we get on a call, we cover the exact same thing, which is something similar to what we said last week, which is, so we understand you would like to use the new service. You know, we should really get started on getting that processed, and let's get the commercials going and get the contract signed. And then you get on another call, and they're like, could you explain to us again exactly why you want to do this and what you need? And we're like, oh, yeah, you know what? The commercials are moving forward, and the contracts are getting ready, da, da, da. It's like four meetings later, 2 months after we started this conversation, we're no further. And it's the exact same call. And I just sit here on mute. And my face must be like the reddest you've ever seen it. I'm on mute. I'm biting my tongue. Steve's been in these calls. And, you know, I'm just like, it's transformation. But we're not transforming. We're stuck in the mud. But
yeah.
So it's not really an inspirational story or anything that's humorous, but that's really what I kind of
I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but we talked about it in the office, which was really funny, that this recent move, where it is kind of an amazing move, where you request them, you open up a ticket, you know, sure, that's our new model.
Open a ticket.
It gets ignored for about 2 weeks. The next reply, which is always great, is, hey, do you still want to do this? So they just hope you lose all interest in it in 2 weeks.
So it's not. The request for service is basically like, we would like to do something more than just an incident, which is an outage or something that needs to be changed or something that's already implemented but broken. So request for service always is one of these things where it's like they need to get somebody else involved or bring the next person in. And like five or six people later, you're like,
they're all asking you the same question. Do you still want to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you bring another person in. Wait, do you still want to do this? And you're like, yeah, we still want to fucking do this. It didn't change. The requirements are the same. It's been 2 months, but yes, let's please move forward with the request for service.
We were saying that there's probably some guy somewhere in IBM who, like, trains these people. And he goes, like, okay, so what I do, first of all, they're not allowed to contact you directly. Always open up a ticket, okay? I then ignore it for 2 weeks. Yeah. I then reply, you still want to do this?
Standard operating procedure.
Standard operating
really
procedure.
Sure.
I then wait 2 more weeks. I nudge somebody with the elbow in the ribs. I say, hey, you replied to this. Still want to do it. I get somebody else to ask them, you still want to do it.
I CC some dumb fuck on the service desk to just reply. They don't know who this guy is. And I have him say, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah. And then we go down this line, and we're like, there's probably like some guy in the back who goes, well, what happens when they finally make you do it? And he just goes, I've never gotten to that point. I just beat him down.
We're 0 for 100 with RFS in the past 3 years. I've got the best record.
Yeah.
I did have my first IBM support this past weekend because I...
What happened, John? Tell me.
I just, you know, maybe I ignore some emails and my password's expiring.
Your own account? Really?
Oh, my own account.
Oh.
And
4 times.
It happens.
It happens.
Got locked out over the weekend.
I got locked out over the weekend. And I want to do my timesheet and everything on.
You didn't come to us. You went through the proper channels.
I know.
My timesheet.
He pinged a few of us online and nobody responded right away. So.
Oh yeah, sorry.
So
I wasn't.
What are you doing your timesheets over the weekend for?
So I figured Dion. I figured Dion would want me to go to the proper
channels.
Because
you never do the fucking timesheet.
So what? I am curious. What happened?
The thing you're doing on Sunday that you can't log in.
So I figured. Well, the thing is, I already had a session open.
Yeah.
On our intranet site, so I'm like, oh, that's. I'll go reset my own password. Yeah. But it wouldn't accept my old password because it had already been changed.
Because
I was expired.
Because we locked your ass
out.
Because
we're secure, John.
Yeah, I know. I had to open up a new browser window so I can get the login screen. Because I went to the service icon on our intranet page.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I hit that, and I couldn't log in there.
No.
Because my password is
gone.
Jumbled. So I'm like, oh, shoot, I have to clear my cookies or go to a new browser to get to the login screen so I get the link to log in to get the phone number.
And you got the phone number and
I
you
got the phone number, and I talked to some guy in Denver, Colorado.
And his name was Joe, and he sounded like he was from the middle of India.
And I explained the process, and I didn't tell him I was IT. I just said, reset.
Yeah.
And he gave me the process where he's going to call me back, and I said, I won't answer.
Oh,
and,
this is great.
And he left a message, and it literally took probably, I listened to it 10 times. I could not understand what he was saying, my password was.
Couldn't understand it after 10 times.
So I basically just sat there, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything tonight. And he called
Trish. Trish, what do you think? What do you think he's saying here?
Yeah.
What does that say?
That's probably part of the IBM
Connor,
training
Connor,
program.
What do you think?
Sometimes I leave him an unintelligible voicemail. They'll just have to ponder and play for two straight days.
Yes.
Although your new password is shot. All part of the IBM strategies.
Oh my god.
Make him flounder for a while.
Yeah. You paid per ticket, okay?
So I sat there, I was like, this isn't gonna happen tonight. And then I got a call from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, you got a call back.
From Denver.
Yeah.
And
just confirming that it all went okay, or
I said, Suresh, I have no idea what the password you left on my voicemail is. I said, I got the first part, but then he left a dollar sign in there, and I didn't
what
know.
What did he call it?
I have no
dollar
idea.
Dollar symbol, you said.
Dollar symbol, or it was not a dollar sign like we would think it would be. It was a different term for it. But,
so,
it was just a loss in translation.
Sure.
That actually
doesn't sound like terrible service, though.
That wasn't bad. Yeah. I was like, well, thank you, Suresh. I just logged in and disabled your account for you. Thank you.
He can go answer security questions and do this all by himself because he's part of the beta program. But he's completely.
But I mean, we should really have like a text message service to instead of having to.
Yeah, well, self service is where we're hoping to get to.
Do it yourself. Answer your security questions and do it
yourself. IBM can. Maybe tighten up the security of that page, but
you could log in as a well.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. I'm already censoring whatever you were about to say.
So at any rate,
right.
He called back. Was this like
that's not bad though
to call
that,
back
that,
just
that
to say?
Sounds
I mean,
impressive.
He called you back. There, that's pretty impressive.
What was? How did that start? The callback.
He did call back and just say, you know, did you receive the voicemail and were you able to log in?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it was good. Yeah,
no, it sounds like good service, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
For tier one stuff, they should be able to knock it out of the park. It sounds like, in this case,
well, that's the thing about IBM.
You couldn't understand him, but he followed up with you to make sure.
That's the thing about IBM that makes it, like, you know, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. Like, weekend support, it's going to be so much better than what we probably had before.
It's way better. We have 24/7 support now, which we never had before.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
but office hour support, like, that could have been solved in 5 minutes in the old day because the guy was right there.
Right,
but, you know, but I mean, that, it highlights sort of the benefits of this.
We've all talked about the majority of tickets are very common things like password and, and very low level things that can't be handled by a tier one support desk, and I think it'll be great.
We have to work past the okay, this isn't that. What happens now?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest challenge.
Sure.
And that's
So, but frankly, if 60 to 80% of the calls are better served because they're the simple stuff. Great.
Yes.
Brilliant. It was ironic because Monday morning I got another call on my cell phone from Denver, Colorado. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy just won't give up.
So no, I just want to make sure you're still happy.
Yeah. Are you still happy at your job? And I ignored it because I'm like, I don't want to talk to him again. And end up being I'm refinancing our home, and they just happen to be either they have a switchboard in Denver, Colorado, the same numbers as IBM, or they just are in Denver, Colorado. Whoa. And I luckily she left a voicemail message.
It would have been great if it was also Suresh for another company.
We're just verifying your statement here.
We have very low interest rates.
Yeah, I spoke to you yesterday.
Were you able to log in? And also, we need your social security number.
So I had a question unrelated but semi-related. Office 365.
Yeah.
This is...
Here we go.
Our service, Office 365. Can somebody tell me, can you guys guess how many people, how many accounts are there now? Not our accounts. Generally, Office 365, how successful is it? How many users are there in Office 365?
Globally?
Yep.
I would guess... between 200 and 500 million.
Wow.
That's a huge fucking number. Wow.
Maybe that's too big. What's Facebook, a billion? Maybe that's too big. I would think it'd be at least 100 million, and I think it's more than that.
Well, you figure every advertising firm, every user has at least two or three accounts.
We got Europe, and I mean, it is... I don't know. I think it's high. I think it's in the hundreds of millions. I could be wrong.
If you count us, you know, we're 40,000 as a complete, 140,000, sorry, as a complete group. That's assuming some duplicate accounts.
Sure. What did you say, 100?
It's in that ballpark.
I initially said 200 to 500 million, but I do think it's in the hundreds. I'm just looking at, I'm comparing it more to like Gmail and Facebook up, and guessing what it's.
What would you have guessed before you looked it up, Dion?
I would have said, like, less than 100 million.
I would have said 100.
John?
Yeah.
Any guess? Mm. Gavin, any guess? And did you look it up?
Yes,
he did. So what's the number?
365 users are there.
It was 80 million a year ago. It's got to be over 100 million, but not more than
Oh, so it is
million.
Lower than I thought, though.
Yeah.
All they are willing to quote, they verified... last week, over 70 million. So they weren't willing to go.
I have an article that says they were at 80 million a year ago. So that's interesting that they're dialing it down to 70 million.
But is
this
the
year.
Article like.
Oh, Jesus.
Is it Microsoft saying that, or is it like estimates are?
WindowsITPro.com states that 80 million Exchange users use Office 365.
But what, that, is wow. that just based off like some licensing numbers? It's not yeah. probably real usage, right?
So Microsoft for, yeah. validated over 70 million. I thought, I mean, sorry, Sean. Yeah.
They're making like, 5.5 billion
off of people, though. Holy crap, there's more than like 70 million people. There's almost 100 million yeah. people. That's pretty damned impressive. Yeah.
Are they happy?
I like Office 365 myself. I think it's great. I think it's
there's a, one.
There's one.
I think the value's amazing. Like everything you get, like the Office installs, you know. I don't know if that's true for everybody, and I don't know if how we use Office.
Our
by
deal
the way, by the
is
way,
pretty good.
Sean's like, I can install it on all my kids' computers. It's great.
No, you can install it on up to 5 machines with our license. Like, I can install Office, yes. on, and I don't know if that's true for every. I'm sure all corporations have different licensing arrangements with Microsoft.
The Microsoft E3 license gives you 5 logins on any computers that you feel you would ever yeah. need to be on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you give it to your sister, but you may be at in home. In Ohio, yeah. want to log in and do something.
Do you know you can actually install it on as many yeah. computers as you want, and yeah. it just has to activate itself?
Right, yeah.
So you it's like, to me, it's an amazing value. I really think it, I think the end users, I have complaints about some of it, the way it handles enterprise operations, you know, but I think to end users, it's a great value and a great system.
I agree with you, and I think Microsoft continues to improve and get to the vision that would be right. And my yeah. my problem is, like, we bought in early days when it wasn't ready for prime time. It wasn't mm-hmm. what we're describing now.
Yeah.
And then Office 365 hit, and it was like, hey, great, this is going to be the answer. And it was like, well, it's not really the answer. It's still not quite there, but it does offer, from an end-user perspective, quite a lot of value.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not so bad.
Gmail,
keep moving on it,
is around 500 million, just so you know.
But the thing mm-hmm. about Gmail, like, for enterprise, it's funny, you talk
but that's
to...
that's not enterprise, that's
I
not
agree.
Business. Yeah. But
and if you talk to people who use Gmail for enterprise, like, they have a lot of... It does, like, most of the transactions better than Office 365, from what my friends who are in Gmail shops say. But they have, like, a lot of the same complaints, like, that, you know, we don't know when the mailbox is actually ready. You right. know, we don't know when licensing is actually going to happen. Like, it all sort of happens. At least, this was, like, 2 years ago when I talked to people who did this, but, like... You know, I think Microsoft is very competitive with Gmail
at the enterprise level. I think you're absolutely right. And you know, the big hurdle for many in our case is that, you know, as soon as it's Google, it's blocked from access in places like China.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly.
You're fighting that battle. How do you jump out of to get to?
Well, somebody once told me, I don't know if it was true, that we had discussions in our organization that there were concerns about local compliance laws, and that supposedly Microsoft was able to say, oh yeah, we can put your data in one of these and number of data centers.
They always make that sound really easy, but it's never quite as easy as you want.
Oh, really?
To
be. Well, because then I had heard that Google was like, no, we can't guarantee anything. Like, an
Google
algorithm
cannot.
Determines it all. Like,
yep.
like if you're worried about, like, satisfying Germany privacy laws based on where your data is stored, we can't help you.
Correct. And and Microsoft will be very good about saying, oh, no problem, we'll put that data in Germany, mm-hmm. for example, because of data, you know, security issues. Mm-hmm. Fine, we'll put it here in Europe, in Ireland, mm-hmm. or here in the U.S. because it has to be there. The problem is, when you're truly a multinational and you work on multinational business, and you start to say, well, I need this data to be here and that data to be there, and we shouldn't cross the streams mm-hmm. because of X, Y, and Z. I mean, frankly, think about that. I have a team working here and there, and we're trying to be very collaborative and seamless and work globally. How do you protect that, you know, national data from the U.S., doesn't get out of the U.S. when you're asking people that are great and wonderful at their jobs in Europe to look at this? You can't. You literally it's as secure as any email system, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Hillary Clinton's on the hook for the fact that she had a personal server, and, you know, we can argue about how right or wrong that may be. But the reality is, any email that gets sent is suspect, right?
Sure.
It can go anywhere. Yeah. And so it's a hard thing to do, and Microsoft is great if you say, I want to make sure that all my data is in Europe to be compliant with European data laws. They can do that. But as soon as you do that, and then you have a client that's in the U.S. saying, well, I can't have any of my data outside of the U.S., you're screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you trust them on that?
You're absolutely screwed. Do I trust that Microsoft can do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Okay. Yes. I trust that Microsoft can do that and will be able to prove it. The problem is,
right.
You know, when we go gray on them, then all bets are off. And that's where we are. We've got some data in the U.S. and some data in Europe, and it is what it is. It is what it is. I think the compliance concerns are global and political and need to be sorted out at that level, and the technologists are just trying to chase that,
sure.
You know. I don't know that they're going to get an easy answer anywhere.
Message searching was better in Domino and still is.
Search.
Boom. Gauntlet thrown.
Search is bad in Office 365.
Let's be clear. Dan would like to go back to Lotus Notes and Domino.
I would.
That's yeah. What I just heard.
Or Google. Because it's good in Google, too, but it sucks in...
Search is bad. That is that is true.
But Delve.
Yeah.
No, nobody wants to, jump on Delve. But Delve.
I don't think it's so bad.
This just in. Excuse me. Please carry on.
Delve doesn't help me find a message from 2012.
No, yeah, Office search is atrocious.
What, Sean?
Microsoft Office 365 search is atrocious. It's terrible. It's almost random.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I was just looking for an email, the latest email that I knew was in my inbox. It was 15 emails back, and I just searched the guy's full name.
And what'd you get? Breaking news all the time.
Yeah, we're breaking news.
I always get breaking news.
Exactly.
I will look for the most idiosyncratic word that I know is in the email and that I have replied to. So I have a meaningful chain of conversation in this email.
Yeah.
That'll never be near the top of the results. Yeah. But the breaking news that we get every day.
I'm looking for Sean, I'm pregnant, and breaking news comes up.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, and it's tangentially related.
I will tell you that I don't know what you do with the breaking news, that it has every keyword ever, that every word I ever want to search for in it.
John's good, man.
I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because breaking news sends out basically 15 articles a day, but the full text of the articles are actually in the body of the email.
So there's just so many words.
It contains
every word in the human language.
So and the last email, 80 breaking news messages that have gone out.
Yeah, we're running out of room in everybody's email because breaking news fills it up
with
5.5 megabytes of email.
Okay, and now
every
we're getting... we've been talking about how search is failing in Outlook, and
but
now we're going to get...
breaking news, I don't think it's that bad, but I'm just going
to
say that.
But we're going to get to it, one of the things that they do present is this thing called the Office Graph, and how the graph connects things logically. And you would think that the graph would come into play here, where they go, well, you actually work with these guys, and you're working on these things, and therefore all this bullshit that's in this thing called breaking news over here is irrelevant to what you work on, so let's surface the content that is more relevant to what you do. That's what the way they sell the Office Graph. So now everything I just said about it's very good and it's a good deal and they're making good steps forward, they still have work to do. And yes, search is one of those things. That's not where their bread and butter is. Gee, Google's better at it. Go figure. That's where their bread and butter is. They're a search company. They should be better at it.
I wonder if they're using the Graph API internally, or is that just something they're selling externally and they haven't gotten around to using it?
I think they mean graph in the the mathematical graph sense. Not the
Office Graph is what I'm referring to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because graph at are we all familiar with mathematical graphing? That means
I took junior high geometry and high school geometry.
Graph paper at home. What do you want?
Is that what you're talking about?
Compass and graph math, unless I'm wrong, is when you have objects that can be related sort of tangentially. So you don't have a structure of inheritance. You know that you can have
multiple circles pointing to multiple thing, and it's called like graph math. So that's where like this. So that then, so like then they also have their graph API, which really isn't graph.
Oh, you know,
so their REST API they call graph, but it's not graph. It's not graph at the mathematical level. What he's talking about is graph at the mathematical level.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you send me an email on, you know, pick your subject, right? So you send me an office and midgets email.
Mm-hmm.
And
as I do.
Sean sends me a midgets and beer email. And John sends me... I'm sorry. I don't know.
Before you say midget one more time, is that the right word?
Little person, please.
Little person. I've been told it's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, Jim Peter
told
me.
Here we go.
Tyrion and midgets and little people and whatever.
Friends
and
recently
Game of Thrones.
Went to see midgets wrestle, and it was called midget wrestling. Okay. And therefore, I'm saying it's got to be
midgets. That is the epitome of taste and decorum, so
yes,
I trust
exactly.
that completely.
If they're fine with it, I'm fine with it.
So I do a search for midgets and something else. And meanwhile, this other thing called Breaking News has a ton of stuff. But they know that I work with you guys, and you guys all sent me emails on this. Those should pop.
Yeah.
As opposed to the breaking news thing that talked about midget wrestling.
Sure. So I want to hear about midget wrestling here.
Don't bury the lead.
No, we're totally, you go up to them and like, hey guys, can I call you midget? Oh, we're totally fine with it, you know?
Oh, that was a great pile driver, by the way.
The card for the night involved midgets spadgling midgets in a WWE. I did not attend because I had something
Come
else
on,
to do
really?
That
night.
Because I'm classy.
But, all my friends who posted all their pictures on Facebook with all these midgets were calling them midgets the entire night, and they didn't mind it. I mean, it probably isn't the most PC thing, but
which is why I
Illinois,
said it,
Illinois, you know, where we live, they were fine with it.
It's
and
pretty.
It was like, okay.
It's an advanced term for Illinois, because we're 30 years behind the rest of the world.
They didn't want little people. Dwarf doesn't make sense for them.
Once you get about five miles outside of Chicago,
Thank
God there's no organizations like PETA for midgets.
Oh God,
they're going after the midget. Wrestling. Wow.
Petita.
I'm a horrible person. I apologize.
What else do we got?
Well, I was going to bring up the fact that I have tickets for Civil War that's happening this weekend.
Oh, the Marvel movie?
Yeah. And I've heard it's gotten great reviews.
It's supposed to be great, yeah.
So who's fighting each other?
The funny thing that I
North and the South.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a historical Civil War documentary.
It's red versus blue, yes.
It's about
shows
slaves.
Up as Captain America?
Yes.
Fuck us.
So I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was like, oh my God, they usually tie in the TV show to the movie in some little way at least, so I got to watch all these shows, and I had to catch up. And
is there a tie?
I don't know yet. I haven't read any spoilers. I know they want to make movies about what's happening on the TV show, but I could see a tie-in that could occur. Whether it happens or not, I'll tell you next week. So stay tuned. But the most interesting part that I thought about Civil War was the fact that they made such great effort to make sure Spider-Man was included in it. That I'm like, oh, I gotta do some research, because I know Sony bought Spider-Man. They did a Spider-Man movie. It was the first of the genre. It started.
It was before
everything.
Marvel Studios existed.
It was the beginning of everything, and it was the first movie that I saw and went, wow, that is a comic book brought to life. It's the first Spider-Man, even though Tobey Maguire was in it.
Yeah, it was Tobey Maguire.
It was okay. Yeah. And I love that movie because I was just like, wow, like that's a real Spider-Man.
Sam Raimi, he's great.
Looked great.
Yeah.
And he did pretty good. I mean, I liked those first movies. But so I went back, I did the research. I'm like, well, why did Marvel get rid of Spider-Man? He's like their centerpiece. They sold Spider-Man for $7 million in 1999.
Yeah, to Sony. It's a famous story because
crazy.
And it's why it keeps getting rebooted. So like the contract is Sony can continue to own. They sold it for Wolverine too. Like the Wolverine standalone movies are now made by Marvel Studios. So Marvel didn't realize what they were sitting on in terms of movie. Hmm. They didn't realize the capital they had, and they were starting to go bankrupt because print media was going away.
Yeah.
So in desperation, they sold the movie rights to the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man,
and Wolverine to different studios. And Sony was the only one that did a good movie. But they did Spider-Man with Sam Raimi, and it was great. But the reason why it keeps getting rebooted is there's something in the contract where Sony will lose it if they don't make a new movie like every certain amount of years.
Yeah.
And every now and again they're like, oh, we don't have a good script. Fuck it, reboot it. So that's why Spider-Man keeps getting rebooted, is right. So Sony doesn't lose the exclusive rights.
He's the central character in the Marvel universe. I don't care who you think it is, Iron Man, Captain America. It's always been Spider-Man, it always will be.
Yeah.
And then when Marvel sold to Disney and Disney owned it, Disney's like, listen, we're done fucking around. You bought him for $7 million. He's the key to our franchise. They got a hold of him late last year and were able to throw him in.
What are they paying Sony licensing?
They bought it back.
Oh, they bought back? Oh, they bought it back.
They own Spider-Man. They're able to move forward. Who knows what they bought it for? I didn't Google what they bought him back for, but if they bought him for $7 million, I'm pretty sure they bought him back for who knows? And they made money off of the $7 million. It's not like Spider-Man didn't make $50 million every year.
Yeah.
So anyways, but my whole point is, so seeing Spider-Man in the Civil War story is you couldn't have Civil War unless you completely rewrote Civil War without Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's an essential piece. If you haven't read it in the comics, go do that. But he's key, and the reviews for Civil War are great. People have left crying, which is what? You don't leave a fucking comic book
crying?
Movie crying with a my tear in your eye. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So, but anyways, but people are like, oh my, you know, Spider-Man fits in, it makes it great, you know, it's a part of the review from the people that I've read who are, you know, they read comics, they're into it, they know what's going on, they expected something.
That's why
they're
you coming out cry. You're not into it, really.
Well, that clears it up for me, because I just saw Deadpool.
It was awesome.
It's our by far our most favorite.
Yeah.
But we were confused. Why did the origin story change from the last whatever it was, X-Men? And
because the X-Men people said, fuck it, we're just
printing money on these, and who cares if we get it right?
Yeah, and I just love the new Deadpool movie in the fact that they reference every other movie that ever existed in the fact that, you know, F Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, F me in a previous movie where they sewed my mouth up, F me because I wore a green suit as Green Lantern. Like, I love it that they basically say, yeah, we know what world you live in, but that was all bullshit, and we're sorry. Now just take a ride with Deadpool this time, and it's great.
Didn't
I
we
love
beat
it.
The shit out of Deadpool in
we
one
totally
of these podcasts
did. This
before?
This is not a fucking spoiler alert. I mean, it was fucking spoiler alert like a month ago. So if you still haven't seen Deadpool, go fucking rent it. It's 4K. Go get it. It's
we don't awesome. All have 4K TVs.
I have 4K.
We don't have a Deadpool button.
Deadpool comes out next Tuesday.
Assassin button.
I have a Deadpool 4K button on my remote for my Sony TV, and if you'd like to come see it next Tuesday, you're more than welcome. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I'm going to
Well,
go
next
see this
week
movie.
You can have a review for us.
I'm excited because people are saying that it's nice to make sure Spider-Man's in it, and I thought
I want
to
see it. I mean,
$7 million for Spider-Man. Could you imagine? Would you? It would have been like, shit, guys, the six of us should just get $7 million together.
Come on, it's interesting. You got like $4 million just in your pocket, right?
You know, comic book movies always bomb.
You can make $1 billion.
But I'll bet you when Marvel put that phone down, they're like, I got these assholes to give us $7 million because they were almost bankrupt at the time.
Right.
And every comic book movie, other than Tim Burton's Batman, had bombed. Like, think of how bad comic book movies are when we were growing up.
Yeah.
They were people like you know, bodybuilders punching each other, and
The first Hulk movie? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a YouTube video out about how DC in the 90s kind of rose to the level of Batman and a few other things, and Marvel was like, let's just B-movie this shit.
Yeah.
And they had, like, Captain America on a bike. Mm-hmm. You can't even buy in a store because they're so embarrassed. But if you go on YouTube and Google it, you'll be like, this was a movie they tried to, like, they produced? So, yeah, for the entire 90s, they fucked that shit up. They were only selling paper. Paper was dying. They sold the rights to their number one person for $7 million. It was like, anyways.
So my problem with I want to see this movie, but I'm like, halfway through reading the comic book Civil War, so I'm like, oh,
you don't need to do that.
I'll finish reading the comic book Civil War.
Just go see the movie
before I do that.
You'll
know. Then you're like throwing out their Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you know you got to
Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. is a drag.
No, the last two episodes have been amazing.
Well, I haven't seen that. We're a bit behind, but it's just.
I tried to give it a try. I agree with Dan when I tried to give it a try.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has stepped up.
That was me.
And what I saw happening
in
was
the last
a ramp
two episodes.
Up. I saw a ramp up towards something. And I know they're going to have a season finale in the next couple weeks or whatever. But they always tie in somehow
to the
movie. Yeah. They always do. Or the movie happens and then it affects the TV show, right. Like in some way. So, and I was like 5 episodes behind. So like in the past week, I've watched 5 hours of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's been really good. I would, you know, Dan, please finish. Catch up, and then if you go see Civil War.
Oh, I mean, we will because there's just so much you can watch and so much that's worth watching, and it's much better than some of the other stuff that's out there. But it's almost like okay, let's watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh no, I never think that.
So what about I know this group is Silicon Valley fans.
Oh, yes.
That started up again.
I don't have HBO, though.
Has anybody watched any of that?
I want to watch it. We were talking about it at lunch today.
It's good. I'm digging it. Still funny.
Okay, good. So the new episode, I haven't seen any of the new season. I'm ready to jump in, but what, 2 episodes in? Or
2,
what?
I think it's 2, yeah.
2, okay. Okay. Sean, do you watch that show?
I haven't. No, I haven't. I always mean to. I don't have HBO, and I always mean to, but I do want to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's hilarious.
I think it's great. It just,
so I'm looking forward to
all the scenes
next
I've
round.
Seen in it are great.
It relates so much to what we do on a daily basis. It's scary.
It does indeed.
Really good.
So I got an echo now because somebody's opened this door. And
the criticism I have of Silicon Valley is they have this fictional company called Hooli,
yes,
which you're supposed to accept as Google, fine, but then they reference Google as well, and so it diminishes Hooli as being Google
a thing,
yeah, but that I mean it's a small pick.
That is a very small pick.
Yeah.
How about Game of Thrones? I know there's a Game of
Loving
Thrones.
Loving it.
Yeah.
Yes?
Are you caught up, Steve?
I'm caught up. I'm torn on the last... I think the rest of the season will tell me whether or not this has been a good thing or a bad thing. My concern is it feels like they've done so much in the first 2 episodes. What are they going to do? And so... the last episode, the first one I was like, all right, they're setting the stage for stuff. And then the second episode hit, and it was like, holy shit. Really? You did all this right now? It felt disjointed. It felt a little bit out of character for certain people. I mean, Tyrion and what he did.
Right.
And you know, this isn't spoiler cast, but it just felt really out of character. Really out of character. For what he did.
I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to connect some things to advance some plot. I mean, there's going to be some major pins to fall.
Yeah.
Just based on where things are heading from where the books ended and where you can just kind of project the trajectory of things. Like, you know, you can kind of see where shit is happening in the north with maybe the Boltons and people have plans and maybe certain characters are back for giant battles to happen.
Right.
And, like, they're still trying to, like, resolve all these loose ends while pivoting towards the final battle with the White Walkers, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, someone might go travel to see Dany, and there might be finally an Essos and Westeros connection, and there might be a viable path for her to come back, even though she has no ships. Maybe someone has ships somewhere.
Right.
Maybe someone who just killed a king. I don't know.
Right.
What do we do?
But yeah, and Game of Thrones thing specifically was someone else had released the dragons, and they're trying to fill a book character who doesn't exist in the show. So like, Tyrion has this existing connection with dragons. So like,
spoiler, thanks.
Yeah, sorry. But like, it kind of made sense, but I cannot understand how. Like, the motivations are unclear, especially like with Davos. Like, why did he turn to a person he hated to go save a character? His connection with is unclear. Why did he feel the need to bring that character back?
Right.
Like,
right.
So there, but there's a lot of shorthand.
I was able to suspend disbelief on a lot of the things that he's done in the past because it just was like, you know what, he got painted into a corner and he did certain things. In this one, it was just like, holy shit. He would never have. He would have been the drunk in the corner going, yeah, go for it, man. Yeah. You think that's a good idea? Brilliant. Do it.
Well, but I think they tried, you know, they tried to set that up as, you know, they're intelligent creatures and they'll sense my intelligence. And I think they tried to.
I think they tried. But
they tried.
They tried really
hard. But they
hard
failed with you.
In too short of a time span. Like, if they'd have built something around and did that, I'd have gotten it.
Here's a goat.
Yeah.
You know, you're my buddy. Yeah. Who's your buddy?
Yeah. Or at least if you brought Missandei, the character who had a connection. I don't know, like, but anyway, but it's so hard for me to.
I struggle with the last episode,
sure,
and I'm looking for like, all right, get me over that hump, because right now I'm going, is this where this is gonna go? It's gonna be like, make shit up to get to your point. Don't make shit up to get to your point.
Well, it is. I mean, the fact remains with what we're seeing on the television show is making it up. To finally mesh with the end goal of Martin.
Yeah.
So it's they're going, the paths have already diverged.
And I guess the hope is like that these first few episodes, just because of the way they've had, they're trying to connect two different points, or like where they're projecting the future and where they were in the show. Hopefully these are just like a few growing pains of steering in the direction, and things kind of smooth out and build on the plot naturally going forward a little better. Because you're not feeling it. I think I've heard other people kind of say that.
And I would totally buy that if that's the way it works out. I'm just saying I'm at the point of, prove that to me.
Right.
I'm good at making leaps, right? I will suspend disbelief. I will create whatever bridges you want me to create. But I'm right at that point of going, all right, re-engage. Because at the moment, you're making me question. Not that I'm going to give up, but, you know, it could go off the rails.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm happy to invest again, but I want to be re-engaged. This next episode, I'm looking for something that solidifies my base again.
I've never heard Dion, Sean, and John more silent on a podcast.
I know. Tell me about it.
Dragons and shit.
I don't watch it, so.
I've never seen so many rolling of eyes.
This is how I feel about comic books,
you guys.
You guys
talked a lot of deep plot and character development. You didn't mention dragons, penis, or boobs, so we're like, whatever.
Yeah. We did mention dragons.
No. Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, stepped out. You went out.
You opened the door. You left all.
Oh, there was some splendid. There was some splendid nudity last episode.
And then you went.
It was good to turn real bad.
Dragons and it's just wow. Sorry.
So,
hopefully the rest of you are listening to the Game of Thrones.
It's kind of a popular show. I'm sorry to bring up
popular. It is a popular show.
Yeah. What channel is it on?
HBO.
Which I don't have.
It's on the HBO.
The HBO.
Yeah.
But you have Silicon Valley. How did that happen, John?
Just found it on the internet. Yeah. Did
a
search and found it.
You know, Silicon Valley, TJ Miller, he's like a friend of the show. You know, we're like, you know.
Pretty much right. Yeah. He listens every week.
He's a huge fan.
You know. He's actually our one sponsor, by the way.
Oh, come on. They're getting ideas from us every week.
Sean's secretly feeding himself.
Totally.
Well, thanks for bringing up Game of Thrones. That was fun.
Did you get a vendor scum? Should I?
I don't have anything myself, but Irk mentioned something.
Oh, this is a good one.
But
I got that email too, actually.
Do you have it? Do you want to read it, please?
Yeah, I can bring it up.
That'd be great.
Let me see. I started here. So much spam. All right. So this is from John Nielsen, That's really weird. He's John at areyoufrank.com. The title is Want IT Adoption? That's as viral as a cat video. And it's got a little picture of a cat with a laptop kind of looking at it.
I dig that one too.
For IT change results as addictive as a cat as cat videos, watch now.
Wow.
Hello, Gavin. With so many things vying for their attention, how do you get employees to not only tune into your IT change, but adopt it? Watch now to find out how we get IT change results worthy of sharing.
IT change, we
Doesn't
can
have
use
cat
this.
Pretending to do IT change.
I'm going to watch it right now.
Could we change the word change to transformation?
So
this we can do that.
His whole thing about vendor scum reminded me of this new movie that's coming out, Keanu. The Key and Peele
movie.
Oh, the cat movie?
That gets stolen.
Yeah. Right.
And I just love that the way they describe it is the only thing more popular on the internet than Key and Peele are cat videos. So we decided to combine both into a movie. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because you'll probably still get like $100 million opening weekend based on that, right?
I love it.
And Gavin's going to love it. I mean, because it's about a little tiny, super adorable mini kitty cat.
Yeah, I'm sold. I have my
and you're in.
My dollar. Yeah.
You're in.
Take your cats to it. It'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, man. John, did you send me that picture of the cat backpack with the little bubble?
Yes.
Yeah. So I found the website. I can't remember. Maybe you showed me the website, but yeah. I've refound the website, and I'm like this close to buying one of them. So
it's $300, right? It's a $300 backpack for your
well,
cat.
Well, maybe it's a different one, because I found one for like the low price of $130. So,
whoa. U.S. dollars.
But I need a cat carrier anyway to take them to the vet, because they've outgrown their old one. So.
Yeah, there's a little kitty litter potty in there for them, mm-hmm. and like a water bottle, and then
so me that link.
Food and
I will. We've tried this before. Sean failed to send me all of the links that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So send me that link. Make sure we'll get it in the podcast notes.
And to close the loop on this vendor scum email, the video was fucking horrible. There wasn't a single cat in it. It was like just typical boring like PowerPoint practically. So
you watched it.
I just skimmed it like really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, it was awful.
What a shame.
The only other thing that I kind of wanted to bring up was did you know, and Sean, this would be a question for you, did you know that it is illegal in Germany to insult leaders of nations?
There is a guy standing trial for the turkey joke.
Yes.
Yeah, I do know
back
that.
To Turkish women, not with
yeah, hey. They're high maintenance. You know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I only know it through this trial that's going on right now. I did not know it previously, yeah. So I just learned this fact within the last few weeks.
So Section 103 of the Criminal Code bans insulting representatives or organs belonging to foreign states.
Organs. That's can't make a dick joke, I'm guessing.
Wow. Just, to bring it back down to our level. Yeah. Thank you very much. In particular, the poem that this guy made had references to sex with goats and sheep.
Yeah.
As well as repression of Turkish minorities. Report said that Mr. Erdogan, is that the...
Yep.
I think that's the comedian, demanded Germany press charges. Oh, no, that's the Turkish official. He demanded Germany press charges against the comedian. German law forbids citizens to insult foreign leaders, but the decision to investigate Mr. Böhmermann has proved highly controversial. So Böhmermann must be the German comedian.
Yeah.
And he is getting all kinds of hell from people like Merkel and company.
That's when they got wrong. Like, I understand banning Mein Kampf in Germany or something, but you should be able to insult whoever the hell you want. That's just my quick
Well, Europe is much different than us on freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know, like, we believe in total freedom of speech in America, you know? I mean, you might lose your job, but, the government is not going to arrest you for anything you say.
Freedom of speech from the government.
And Europe really doesn't feel... Europe does not believe in, total freedom the way Americans do. You know, I mean, Americans believe you have the freedom to carry a gun. I mean, which is insane to Europeans. And, to me, it's an interesting discussion on society. Like, where do your rights end, and do you need to start thinking about society? Whereas Europe will sort of say, no, if a certain kind of language is so hateful, we just won't allow it.
Yeah.
You know, we won't allow it. And that might be a reflection of their history. Like, Europe
was always at war when these constitutions were made.
Yeah, but at the same time, we have governments now like making laws about who can go to a bathroom and who can't.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We're hypocritical in that we believe in total freedom, but then it's like, you know.
Well, not that.
Yeah, not that. Or, like, God forbid you encroach on a copyright. Like, in America, you'll be thrown in jail sooner than any other country in the world for copyright protection. You know,
we're
like,
so free that we have to define freedom for everybody. That's the problem.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what?
You have to define freedom for a transgender person. You have to define freedom for gays. You have to define freedom for religion, for schools, for government, for states, for children, for you name it. It's just it all has to be defined.
Sure.
Because we're so that like it's the opposite of freedom, right? That's where we're getting to. We're so free that we have to define what freedom means for everybody.
You mean like every person should be so free that we can't encroach on their freedoms?
But you have to define exactly what you can encroach on. Therefore, are you really free?
I don't know. I'm just trying to understand
what
you're saying.
I'm not even high. I'm just saying. Yeah. This is,
I'm not even
this
high.
This is what I'm thinking. Like, you know.
That'd be great. Trump's going to say that one of these debates. I'm not even high.
Not even high.
But I really think that.
But that means freedom needs to be defined. Yeah. You're so free. Let's define how free you are.
What if the universe was on this fingernail? The entire
I think we could all agree that Trump is going to say some amazing things in these debates, and I'm pretty sure he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And I think his concession speech is going to be the greatest TV ever broadcasted. Because he's not going to be magnanimous. He's not going to...
No.
You know how they always say, like, right now I just want to unite whoever it is, like Barack Obama, George Bush ran a good campaign, and I just want to help him or her become the better president. He's not going to say any of that.
He was quite magnanimous to Cruz.
Because he won, right?
Yeah. I don't see him
being magnanimous in losing.
A year ago, he still loved the Clintons. And here we are a year later, and we've talked about this, where it's like, well, I actually have a chance to become president myself, so I'm going to ride this out. But I still believe his involvement in the GOP was to get in there and muck it up for everybody.
But I do think if you ever put Ted Cruz and him in a room together, Ted Cruz will go ape shit on him.
And he'd win. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd buy but that for a dollar.
This will be comical for the next...
pay-per-view I'd pay.
Yeah. Well, he is. I think people forget... Trump is almost 70, I think.
69 years old?
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's even closer
69.
Than I thought.
69.
Yeah, I mean, he's an old man, you know?
Does anybody feel his life's in jeopardy?
Nah.
I don't. Well,
in what way?
The fact that he has more security than Obama.
We'll see. I'm sure he will pick a judicious vice presidential candidate to counterbalance that fear.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be.
It's a very good question.
Who do you think he's going to pick? Well, because anybody with long-term prospects in the Republican Party would say no, right?
The arena.
Wouldn't that be great? Jesus. She's a perennial VP.
He'd be like, look, I'm sleeping with his vice president now. This is great.
There's a reason why they all want me, people. It's because I'm the best candidate for VP.
Well, they're saying it has to be a woman or a minority.
If he wants to win, he's got to pick a minority.
I think it's got to be a woman, too, because he's so misogynistic he needs a woman.
He's got like 70 or 65% unfavorable with women, right?
Yeah, but then what woman's going to say yes to that? Because it's like...
Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah Palin.
Is Carly Fiorina Hispanic?
No.
Then forget it.
She could be. Let's call her.
She'll be Hispanic for the race.
Okay.
For the vice president, I've chosen my personal cook. Miss Carlos Rodriguez here.
Miss Carlos Rodriguez.
Carlita Rodriguez.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Because I just don't feel anyone with any kind of weight or substance or standalone career is going to say no. Because they don't want to, you know, it's like, if you're already the governor of a small state, life is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you say yes to this guy?
No.
And hit your,
I mean, statistics show he's not going to win.
Have your career over with.
Yeah, you'd never be respected.
The press did the numbers on even best case scenario, Trump already getting through, you know, the convention, becoming the nominee, how he needed to win, where he would need to win, historically how the GOP has done over the past years, red versus blue. It's a long shot.
Yeah.
The Democrats are already at that 270 number.
There are states that would never be GOP that he'd have to win. Well, it's you'd have to convert.
Yeah, it's amazing watching like certain stalwarts on the GOP side who have already come out and go, no. When I said never, I meant never Trump. Never.
Just Google Lindsey Graham Daily Show, where he basically says, like, he's like the Antichrist or whatever.
I mean, assuming people show up in Cleveland. I mean, they're talking about not even going to Cleveland because they're boycotting the convention.
Sean, I would go with you. Let's do it.
I wish I could.
Let's fucking crash it. Who cares?
Well, it's going to be a lot of riots.
It's going to be, I think it might be quiet now.
No.
I think they are. Maybe lucky he's so he was inevitable, and they might be lucky that the sideshow isn't there.
Yeah, you know, I agree
that you know
it's going to be a lot more peaceful than I assume.
And the sideshow would have brought out the worst in him, you know, and it will be interesting. I'm very eager to find out who he elects as a VP. Albert Brooks, I don't know if you ever follow him. He had a great tweet where he goes. This is before the Indiana results comes out. He goes, if Cruz loses tonight, I can't wait to see who he announces as a Secretary of Defense.
just keeps announcing his
cabinet gets bigger and bigger as he loses more and more, you know, like,
Yeah.
Well, I called it earlier. I just want to remind you guys that just a couple months ago, I said that at some point, Trump will, in the debate, call Hillary a really bad word. A misogynistic term. I have a specific one in
bitch.
Mind, but no. But
he's not going to call her the C word in a debate.
I'm calling her. You didn't have to out me, Sean. I was trying to be very funny.
I think he's going to imply that Bill cheated on her because.
Oh, 100. Yeah.
Because she is.
Oh, he's going to totally bring that back in a debate.
Yeah, he's going to bring up Bill's infidelity somehow.
And impeachment.
Because his view is a woman who can't keep her man has faults. Yeah. I think we can all agree he's going to say something sexist.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Also, he's going to question her feminine credentials of standing by someone who disrespected women by cheating.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Well, Trump cheated on his first wife, though.
Oh, yeah.
Marla Maples, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. I totally believe that.
He did.
It's interesting because, I feel like historically when people that don't have much of a political background are getting prepped for the debates, it's always like, okay, all right, so we're technically allies with Turkey. They're a little ambiguous. Yeah. And you're just getting like blanketed with geopolitical facts. And with him, it's probably just, you can't call her a bitch. it's just like standard morality, you know? Like you can't imply she should be in the kitchen. Like they're just going to teach him how to be like a functioning human.
We don't call them midgets.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
All right. I just want to take a barb at Hillary because I do that. How embarrassing is it that Donald Trump has sewn up the Republican field before Hillary has sewn up the Democratic field?
But she has sewn it up. But Bernie just won't drop out. Like he's mathematically eliminated too. He just won't drop out.
Yeah. Yeah. He was mathematically eliminated yesterday.
Well, the problem with Bernie though is all these superdelegates who have already sworn their delegacy, if that's the word, to Hillary. So in his mind, he's basically hanging in there because he's raised more money from real people than her, and he's gotten more real votes than she has. And he's just kind of like, I'm here. Technically, I'm winning, but all these people who have already pledged.
But he's not even winning. Even in
the popular
even
vote,
in, yes, losing. No, he's not winning under any math. It's false that he's winning.
The superdelegate, if you remove superdelegates,
it's very close.
It's closer. It's much closer, but he's still losing.
200 votes. I think it's very close.
But he's going to take it to the convention because he has specific policy proposals that he's going to force her to put on the platform, just like John Edwards did in 2004 when no one was talking about healthcare, and he forced.
Do you know what I read today, which is a fascinating article?
Because
he is also like a team player. He has always said, like, you know, I'm not going to hurt the Democratic or Republican. I read this article the other day. I forget where it was, but they were saying that Hillary wants him to keep going because
it's good for her.
It's helping her fundraising.
Huh.
Because she's like, listen, not only do I have this Trump asshole coming up, like Bernie is still like within striking distance, and that the Democratic Party supposedly, according to polls, thinks it's better to have a closer race.
They needed a Bernie, but her camp doesn't, though. Hillary,
but I think if she went up to him, he seems to me, and I could be wrong, to be such a team player that I think if the powers that be actually said, we need you to bow down now because of Trump.
I
think he would.
Is there any viability to this becoming? Look, Hillary is the presidential and Bernie is the vice president.
No, absolutely not.
That'd be hilarious if your combined age of your ticket is almost 180 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't happen. I mean, he's older than her.
It won't happen. You know? But what she could do is she could basically say, I've learned a lot through this process, and you know, I'm going to take a lot of this and move forward with it. And
I think it's complete bullshit. What they really want is the email list.
She's going to say whatever the fuck she wants to get elected. And be basically, Bernie taught me a lot. Not going to say that, but I agree with Bernie. We're on the same page with a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie's going to say, I'm behind Hillary 100%.
Yep.
You guys are going to do the same thing. For sure. And the email's all bullshit. Let's just
They're also saying that a lot of the
email is bullshit, okay?
A lot of
what? Server is garbage.
No, it's not. There was a terrible decision. She wanted to avoid public accountability.
Every fucking other person in the history of that position did a fucking
it's one of those things where they understood what they were taking
she's
on
she's stupid enough to get caught. I mean, I'll give you that.
No, I don't think they understood. First of all, only like 4 State Department heads have ever had emails. Like an interesting
it's rather new.
Yeah,
evolving technology. She took the leap of it's more convenient. I can do it.
Bullshit.
No, but email.
It's within the legal realm of what I can do.
But this is the thing. Nobody understands, and we do this, and people don't understand how complicated. Even IT people don't understand how complicated email is, and how hard it is to make it secure. So I'm sure she was like, oh, I could run my own email server. And she probably talked to somebody. She's like, oh, yeah, easiest buy. You know, dude, set up an MX record.
It's in your bedroom closet.
Sendmail done.
And it's in your bedroom closet.
Hutton.
And it's completely secure. Like, okay, fine. It's more secure. I can do whatever I want.
Why did she need it? What when you have countless aides to check your email for you, why do you really... What is your motivation for it?
Device. Pick a device.
I'll bet you.
But bullshit. You have people to read your emails.
No, but Dan, we do the same thing here. It's vanity. We do the same thing here. And I'll get you. I would guess that's what happened. I'll bet you she wasn't able to get the latest phone. I'll bet you it came down to a shallowness of vanity. But how often do we do that at our corporation? Where we're like, oh, no, that man is not going to obey this rule because you're not going to go ask him to do that. You know?
We never do that. That never happens.
Hey, and this is a true statement.
Yeah. Come on.
This is a true statement. Yeah. CEO still likes BlackBerry. However, when he goes to meeting, he needs, with this client, he needs Nokia.
Okay,
phone.
But I stand by what I just said.
When he goes to this meeting, he needs iPhone. When he needs
Fine.
To here, he needs
She has
Android.
An iPhone. She even has her own email server. Fine.
Five devices.
Joe Assistant just forwards the emails security. That she should be.
No.
Yeah. She doesn't need her own domain.
You are right. You are right. You're right. She just. It's too much.
Email before the Secretary of State. Secretary of State should get email. Joe said, junior intern college kid seeing whatever it's happening. So my point is, she probably wanted it on a device, specific device.
No, they know this. It was the iPhone. So she wanted an iPhone. And their security things are the NSA has to give you – they only made one, which is for the president. They won't allow you to have an iPhone that connects to real towers. It has its own OS. And they're like, we're not going to build you one. Like, we're not going to make a second security-capable iPhone.
Which is why she's running for president now. So
yeah.
She can have an iPhone.
So she can have that device.
Reason.
That's all she was.
So what's an iPhone?
So she built her own server so that she could run an iPhone.
That works for the president of the United States.
Like, it's fascinating, actually.
Yes. But, I mean, so that's my point. And this was years ago, and they've already said that none of the shit that she actually talked about, received, replied, forwarded, or did anything with was top secret. The only shit that was top secret is the stuff that the Republicans are now saying, well, now it's top secret. It's really top secret now. So she should never have done that. Yeah, of course.
There are over like 12,000 like secret emails or something like that. It's
receiving,
like it's
not forwarding, replying, or sending.
No, but it was probably hacked. It's an egregious security flaw. It really is. My argument would be, and I don't think I agree with Dion, but my argument is I don't think there was like an untoward. I don't give a shit about. I don't think she understood. I think she just said, I want a fucking iPhone, and didn't understand what was going on behind the scenes and was advised by people that didn't understand. And
she
it's
said,
an
legally, can I have an iPhone? Yes. Legally, can we stick a server in my closet so I can get an iPhone? Yes.
Told her no, and she did it anyway. So she did. She was wrong. But my argument would be, it's the working in what I feel is a similar situation. To me, it's the NSA's fault. Because you had a woman that's very important that asked for, said they're going to have something, and you just said no, and you thought the conversation was over. And we deal with that here all the time, you know, I feel. And we say, you know what, we can't actually do that because there's going to be too much fallout, and they're going to figure out a way around that. You know, like, we have to accommodate.
Unless, of course, the NSA wanted her, wanted to spy.
Oh, that might be interesting. That might be it, you know.
But there are also emails.
Did I say NSA? I meant Chinese version of that.
They might have just.
They don't even listen to us, Dan. Don't worry about it.
There are also emails.
Because they had to know she was going to do it, right? Like, they had to know that.
There are emails in there where she's talking to her agent and they're saying, we can't send this to X location because of this confidentiality level, or, you know, what's her secrecy rating level, whatever they call that, the departmentalization of intelligence information. And then they're just saying, okay, well, why don't you just strip out the heading and the footer and then just email it on? Like, I mean, if that's a problem of of too much secrecy, then that's fine. But, I mean, those are the rules.
I think she acted very improperly. But I feel it is the government's fault for not giving her the technology she felt she needed. I really believe that. No, I do. I mean, I just think, and they're going to probably offer it to the few. I feel you had a bunch of hard-ass, tight-ass dudes who are like, fuck you, why do you need another one?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, then I'm going to go do my own thing.
Right. So we have to focus on what Sean said up front. Mm-hmm. She was over the line. She did the wrong thing. And here's why. That doesn't justify it. She was still over the line. It just explains it. It's a difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will buy that. There was an explanation for why she did what she did. She wanted it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why Hillary continues to not be... You know, why somebody like Bernie has what he has.
Yes,
He's just a pure guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He is who he is. Yeah. He does what he does.
We haven't found that
dark side.
And I'm going, you know, I would vote for her over Trump. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it was a tremendous lapse.
Is that a hard thing to say, Dan?
Tremendous lapse of judgment. And that's why, you know, I would differ with Dion that it's not a big deal. It was a tremendous lapse of judgment, and we're talking about the potential president. Yeah. So,
you're asking for trust.
So technology trust. Laws hadn't advanced to protect the Secretary of State.
No.
They
have secure departmental. They have secure departmental email system set up. They have these things called SCIFs. Like, I think it's called secured compartmentalized information fucking pods or something like that. You know.
Sure.
They have these things set up all throughout the government agencies and tell them specifically to use these because these are the secure ways to disseminate information.
And were the devices that she was given able to do that? Was the mechanism in which she was allowed to use globally allowed? Like, just saying, hey, you need to throw an email in this container so it goes to these people is completely different than the actual sending of the emails through servers, the hardware, the infrastructure, the technology, all that stuff. So
in her offices, they have these endpoints set up.
They told her, if you want to do that, you have to come into the office or you have to use this device. And she said no. I suspect she broke a law, probably. She probably sent something that technically broke a law.
And she's I put blame
on the IT, in my opinion.
From what I'm reading is there wasn't a law being broken because they were so vague and they didn't specify using these things so that she had to specifically secure certain
that might be true. I don't
messages.
Know. I mean, that would
transmission.
Transgender
you have to put
messages.
Intent, which is why she's never
oh, here we go.
Because you have to put some type of malicious intent. Yeah. But I mean, I think she probably did. I mean, if this was some low-level employee, they would have no problem haranguing this person and, you know, and putting them in jail. They would have no problem.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they'd do it easily. And obviously, it's a different matter with her. And
if she was a terrorist, she'd have to be waterboarded and maybe, you know, in a jail for 5 years.
God willing.
But,
sure. This is America.
But
so this is the point where I go, look, we're going to wind this down.
Sorry.
If you want to hear more of this podcast, please buy a T-shirt.
buy us an email server.
Damn it. Buy a T-shirt.
Tweet us at www.itguys.com. I'm sorry, at www.itguys.com. And hashtag T-shirt.
Or you know, just send money to me, and I'll be your proxy vote.
No, he can't do that. He can't do that. Nobody
actually,
can do that.
I offered that for Elisa today, because she can't vote in the United States.
Thanks. So. Oh.
Gavin sold his vote today.
I did.
How American.
Ron Paul.
Private email service for everybody.
I want to thank everybody for listening. There will be more of this on the extended podcast, so long as we get enough sponsors. Have a lovely evening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
All right, sorry for throwing that grenade in there. I couldn't help but take a shot at Hillary. I really just, you know, I have problems with her trustworthiness and accountability. It was absolutely perfect.
Well,
I'm just watching,
I love racist misogynists way more than Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's the thing.
Love it.
Well, and that's why the Republicans killed